Afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Committee on Children, Families, and Elder Affairs, which will now come to order. Nikki, please call the roll.
Chair Sobel.
Here.
Vice Chair Altman.
Here.
Senator Dean.
He's excused for today.
Senator Dietert.
Here.
Garcia.
Here.
Senator Hudson. Senator Ring.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant, Nikki. Okay, we're going to take up Senator Clemens' bill, Senate Bill 1138 first. Welcome, Senator Clemens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is a strike call, if you'd like me to explain that.
Tab 3. We're looking at barcode. There's one amendment. We're going to take up amendment barcode 448396 by Senator Ring. Senator Ring, would you like the sponsor to explain the amendment, or do you want to explain it? Okay, he said the sponsor should.
I prefer Senator Ring.
Okay, you're on, Senator Ring.
No, that's okay. Thank you for the courtesy, Senator Ring. I appreciate it immensely. What the strike all does is clean up some language that both staff in the House and the Senate had some issues or wanted to see clarified. So it removes language written to prohibit predatory practices at the community or support group meetings as it may have had unintended unconstitutional consequences. It clarifies language to ensure compliance with federal ADA and FHA requirements and a few other technical clarifying changes. Just as an overall introduction of the bill, this is the follow-up to last year's Sober Homes legislation. It's created in order to be able to deal with some of the unethical marketing and predatory practices that have occurred at AA and NA meetings and patient brokering, and it does so by addressing those practices by prohibiting false or misleading statements about products, goods, services, or the geographical location in their marketing or advertising materials, patient brokering issues, and prohibits the engagement of predatory marketing practices that include soliciting people with substance use conditions at or in community meetings, support groups, or treatment programs, a couple of other things in order to be able to clean up the practices.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions about this amendment? Seeing none, are there any appearance forms for the amendment? None. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is, all those in favor say yay.
Yay.
All those opposed, the amendment is adopted. Now we're back on the bill as amended. You want to say anything about the bill?
No.
Okay. So there's no questions about the bill being amended, and there are appearance forms. First, we have Melissa McKinley, Commissioner, Palm Beach County. She here? Thank you. Waves in support. Ethical marketing. That's a new one. Jim
That's
Smith.
Bill. That's the bill.
That sounds like a great group. Mark Fontaine, Executive Director of the Florida Alcohol and Drug Abuse Association.
We waive in support of this bill.
Thank you. And we have Monty Stevens, Ambrosia Treatment Center.
Waive in support, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And Thad Lowry, Operation PAR.
Operation PAR, waive in support.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Senator Clemens, you're recognized to close on
close.
The bill as amended.
We close, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Nikki, please call the roll on committee substitute for Senate Bill 1138.
Senator Dean, Senator Dietert.
Well, apparently I vote for everything for Clemens today, so I'm a yes.
Let's keep that up all session.
Senator Garcia.
Yes.
Senator Hudson. Senator Ring.
Yes.
Vice Chair Altman?
Yes.
Chair Sobel?
Yes. Show your bill passing. Congratulations.
Thank you all.
Okay, now we'll take up tab two. Senator Bruzzo, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Recognized.
So he has no amendments. Okay. Could you explain the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 762, this piece of legislation would provide an exemption from public records for petitions of involuntary assessment and stabilization of a substance abuse impaired person. Petitions often contain pertinent medical history and a specific behavior that is imperative to providing assistance to substance abuse impaired persons through health and rehab services. This petition contains similar information with the clinical records under the Baker Act, which is currently protected by law. This law would extend the same protection to the Marchman Act, and that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Oh, very nice. Are there any questions about this bill? Are there any appearance forms? Okay. We have Paul Lowell from Palm Beach County.
Madam Chair, Palm Beach County waives the support of this excellent bill.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate on the bill? Okay, there's no debate. Senator Bruiser, you recognize the close on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for putting it up. And I know Senator Garcia has been working on Marchman Act and other issues, and I really appreciate all his support. Senator Dietert is a leader as well. And basically, at the end of the day, these forms have to be filled out with the clerk. And as stated in my opening, have very important information to these individuals that should not be open to the public. They're private medical information. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Nikki, please call the roll on Senate Bill 762.
Senator Dean. Senator Dietert.
Yes.
Senator Garcia.
Yes.
Senator Hudson. Senator Ring.
Yes.
Vice Chair Altman.
Yes.
Chair Sobel.
Yes. Show your bill passing. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
So now we'll go to tab 1 by Senator Margolis. But before that, I want to recognize some people from my hometown, from Hollywood. We have we have Joy Satterley with us, who actually has a program for at-risk kids to help them learn through the arts. So thank you for all your good work. And we have another board member with us from the Art and Culture Center, who also works very heavily with kids at risk, and we have a special school for those kids to bring out what they're good at. And it might be art and not engineering. So thank you. Appreciate you being here. Welcome. So Daniel Bruno.
Yes, good afternoon.
Welcome. Sorry, Senator Margolis could not make it. You're recognized to explain the bill. I'm sure you'll do a very good job.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Senators. Thank you for allowing Senator Margolis to present the bill to your committee. She apologized.
Is your mic on? It's on the stem.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. Thank you for allowing Senator Margolis to bring this bill before your committee. She apologizes. She could not be here in person.
Okay, so there's an amendment. There's one amendment, and it's been offered by Senator Ring, who would like to explain it. No.
Again, very worried about me.
Okay, so it's barcode 201494. Would you like to explain the amendment?
Absolutely. The amendment narrows the scope of the bill to only natural guardians or natural persons who serve as guardians. Over some concerns by staff and others in the community.
Okay. Senator Dietert has a guardianship bill, so I guess she wants to know more about it.
It limits it to only natural guardians, did you say?
I'm sorry, only natural persons who serve as a guardian. So,
do we have unnatural persons who serve as guardians?
Yeah, we do.
Yes, ma'am. Trust companies, banks, and others.
Thanks for that explanation.
Okay, so you took out trust companies and those people. Are there any questions, any other further questions on the amendment? Are there any appearance forms for the amendment? Is there any debate on the amendment? Anybody opposed to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Okay, let's get back to the bill now. Are there questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none.
Wait.
Oh, you have a question on the bill as amended.
Correct.
Senator Dietert.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. You're limiting this to how many people?
So the
you could only oversee how many.
Right. So the basic thrust of the bill, as amended, would be that any natural person who serves as a guardian could only have 50 wards who are paid at a time. And again, this only applies to professional guardians. So
and current law would be unlimited?
Okay. That is correct.
Good question. Are there any parents? Oh, there is one appearance. Okay, Senator Garcia.
Where do we get 50 from? I still think 50 seems like
Could you put your mic on? I can't even. Thank you.
It seems that 50 is a high number. Maybe it isn't, but where did 50 come from? Is it?
50 was a number decided on through some conversations with some folks in the community. Again, right now it's an unlimited number. I think we've heard of instances where people had, you know, as 150. The senator felt 50 was a number that made guardianship as a profession still viable, but was able to limit and get wards more attention.
Madam Chair, if we can, will we have public testimony? If anyone's going to testify, they can maybe help address that issue.
I don't know, but I know this group, and I think Senator Diaz-La-Portilla was working with them on his guardianship bill. This is like the North Miami Aventura group.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is very vocal and feel they've been wronged. And I think he was able to get some bills passed in, under his jurisdiction, under the judiciary. This is the same group?
Yes.
Yeah, the same group. And they recommended 50. Okay.
I've got another question.
Senator.
Okay. I'm trying to find it. But is this for public guardians or private guardians?
Right. This is specifically for private guardians who are paid for their services out of a ward's estate. The problem that we run into and the reason why it's specifically private guardians is there's a large unmet need that, well, I guess it's a met need. In Miami-Dade County, for instance, the public guardian there is responsible for over 1,400 people. Right now, we don't have the resources to change that and include them in this bill.
And if I could add something just for everyone's edification, the number, it does sound high, and we probably ought to put that in our tickler file, those of you who will still be here, to do some research down the line to see if that was too many. But probably the reason for the high number is there are major organizations like Lutheran Services that do get paid, and it's a big organization, and they can probably handle a lot more people. But so we're kind of thinking one individual guardian would have 50 people. That would be way too much. But if it's an organization like Lutheran Services or the Y or something big, they can handle 50.
So you'll be willing to work with the committee in the next step on any kind of amendment that would clarify?
Absolutely.
Whether it's a group or an individual. Okay, that's good. So we have, thank you for bringing that up, both of you. So we have somebody from AARP, Laura Cantwell, who would like to wave in support. She waves in support of this bill. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? No. Daniel, you're recognized to close on the bill as amended.
I'll wave close.
Nikki, please call the roll on committee substitute for Senate Bill 730.
Senator Dane. Senator Dietert.
Yes.
Senator Garcia.
Yes.
Senator Hudson. Senator Ring. Vice Chair Altman?
Yes.
Chair Sobel?
Yes. So show your bill. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 730 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senators.
Okay. Moving on rather quickly. Now we're going to turn to tab 4, which is a committee bill, 7054. And this is the bill that helps to organize the Agency for Persons with Disabilities. And we know how important that department is. And it's time for us to take those statutes that are on the books, that are not being used, off the books, and get a clear path of the role that this department will play in the future. So Barbara on our staff is going to explain the bill. I think I would like Barbara Palmer to come up and say why she thinks this bill is important. I think it's very important, and this will create a blueprint for the future for people with APD and this agency. So would you like to come up and say a couple of words, Barbara? Barbara Palmer, who's the secretary, the agency director, but like a secretary. Whatever.
Right.
So thank you. Very good job.
Thank you very much. First, I'd like to thank your staff and you for being willing to make this a committee bill, all of you. This is a very important bill to us. It is what we call a cleanup bill. Over the years, as you all know, we've had tears. We've had all different kinds of things that have gone on. We have to get rid of all of that. These are the things that most of these things are the things you've already passed either in proviso or somehow you have the implementing bill. It's been actually most of it has been already passed by the legislature, and we're just putting it in a cleanup bill so that I think it's easier for everybody to understand what direction we're moving in.
Thank you, Senator. As Ms. Palmer said, this bill addresses a number of issues that they have encountered in the last few years. The Home and Community-Based Waiver Program has been written into temporary law by the legislature using the budget implementing bill for the last few years, and this will put a lot of the information that's been done in that manner into the statutes. It will allow individuals that are 18 but not yet 22 and in need of waiver services and extended foster care services to receive these services. Prior to this, the children who did not stay in foster care past 18, they could go directly onto the waiver. The agency also will provide waiver service to include residential habilitation with the community-based care organizations funding room and board at the rate established in the statute. The bill also allows active duty family members, when they're transferred into the state, to receive waiver services if they were receiving the waiver services in another state. The bill directs the contractors with the agency to use the agency data system so that we can document the service provision to the clients, so that we can ensure that the agency has the needed data on the clients. It clarifies the iBudget for waiver clients to how their funds are determined and allows for an increase for those services, for transportation services under that clarification. It directs the agency to conduct utilization reviews of intermediate care facilities for individuals with developmental disabilities. And as a result of a ruling from the Florida Supreme Court, it directs the agency to conduct annual reviews of individuals placed with the agency by court order. And the last thing it does, Senator, is it expands the definition of the individuals who are served in the Comprehensive Transitional Education Program to include persons with severe maladaptive behaviors and co-occurring complex medical conditions or a dual diagnosis of developmental disability and mental illness. And that's the bill.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions about the bill? Are there public comments? Janice Phillips, Association of Support Coordinators.
We wave in support, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. So there's only one comment. So is there any debate on the proposed bill? There's no debate. Well, that's pretty good. I think this is a really good bill, a bill whose time has come, and I want to thank Barbara Palmer and Barbara Crozier, the Barbers, and hopefully this will make services more available to the clients, and that's our goal. And I think this is the blueprint, as I said, this is the blueprint that will help pave the way. So, and everybody who worked on this, this truly will make a difference. So please call the roll. Oh, Senator Altman moves that Senate proposed Bill 7054 be submitted as a committee bill. Seeing no any objections to that, Nikki, please call the roll on SPB 7054.
Senator Dean, Senator Dietert?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Hudson, Senator Ring, Vice Chair Altman?
Yes.
Chair Sobel?
Yes. Okay, so it becomes a committee bill. Congratulations, we're on our way. Thank you very much. Is there any other comments? Questions? Okay. Senator Altman moves. You rise. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.